Moses had led the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity, and he was caring for them in the wilderness. And that's because God had given him that responsibility, and he was fulfilling that responsibility. Of course, we know God was providing for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, but Moses was the leader, and God had him to be his spokesman to the people. Moses had seen bad attitudes among the children of Israel, and he had seen many mistakes made among the children of Israel, one of which he himself made, which was a very grave mistake on his part. But God was going to fulfill his promises to them regardless. He had promised them the promised land, and they were headed toward the promised land, and that was going to be fulfilled. But while Moses led the Israelites, he taught them what God wanted them to know. He gave them the Ten Commandments, which, as God commanded him to reveal that to them, he did so. He informed them of all the laws, not just the Ten Commandments, but all the other laws that God had demanded of them. And in fact, the book of Deuteronomy is full of sermons that Moses spoke to the Israelites toward the end of his life when they were in the land of Moab and when they were soon going to go over across the Jordan River to take Jericho, to take the promised land. And as we said, due to the vital mistake that Moses made, he wouldn't be able to go with them, but he was nevertheless preaching to them here, letting them know what God expected of them. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy if you would like to go ahead and do that. And you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 18 is where we're going to be reading from here in just a minute. But as he goes through and he's preaching these sermons to them in the book of Deuteronomy, toward the end of the book and toward the end of his life, he offers them a choice. And chapter 27 is where he has appointed various tribes to go on two different mountains. Some of them were to go on Mount Gerizim, some were to go on Mount Ebal. In fact, the ones who were to go on Mount Gerizim were Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the ones who were to go on Mount Ebal were Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. You can think back when you had to memorize all those names and try to keep up with them. These are, of course, the tribes now of Israel, and they were to go on these different mountains. And as he appointed these tribes to stand on these mountains, they were going to pronounce blessings or cursings. And when they were pronounced, chapter 28 talks about that, if the Israelites would have done what the Lord commanded and continue to do what the Lord commanded, they would be blessed. They would receive blessings. But then the latter part of chapter 28 says that all the Israelites who did not obey the voice of the Lord would receive cursings. Now that's the choice, and that's it. You have one mountain, you have another mountain, you have one. Are you going to follow the commandments or are you not going to follow the commandments? That was the choice. And Moses knew that he would soon be handing off the reins, if you will, to Joshua. But he wanted to encourage them to do what was necessary to be blessed rather than to be cursed. And so he leaves them with this choice that we're going to read in chapter 30, beginning in verse 11. It says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven, that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now again, there's their choice. And there's only two things. Are you going to choose to do good? And in choosing to do good, you would be choosing life. Or will you choose to do evil, and therefore your choice will be death? When Moses tells them what he wants them to do, if we continue reading in verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. That's what Moses wanted of them. He wanted them, as verse 16 says, to love God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and to live. But the fact of the matter is, verse 17 tells us they had to decide. They had to make that decision. If they were to turn away from God and worship other gods, then they would perish and lose their land. And then as we read, the choice is repeated in verse 19. Life versus death. Blessing versus cursing. And Moses just had to leave it in their hands. Because Moses wasn't going to be able, as we said, to take them on into the land of Canaan and lead them there. And Moses, in fact, would soon die. He would die before they entered into the land of Canaan anyway. And so it was in their hands, in their court. They had to make the decision. And he commanded them, he expected them to love God, obey him, and cling to him. Seems like this choice would be obvious, doesn't it? When we think, do we want life and blessings or do we want death and cursings? That's not a hard choice, I wouldn't think, for anyone to make. It doesn't seem like. But what did the Israelites do? What decision did the Israelites make? And as we know, the Israelites certainly made the wrong choice. But what's interesting about that is this. As Moses is leaving it to them, telling them their choice that they have to make, putting it in their hands, God right after that tells Moses what they're going to do. Because after all, God knows. He knows how they're going to respond. He knows the actions that they are going to take. And so when we go to chapter 31 and look at verses 16 through 18, we see that the Lord clearly tells Moses what's going to happen. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers. And as we said, Moses is about to pass away. And this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. Tells Moses what they're going to do. They're going to forsake me. They're going to turn to other gods instead. And interestingly enough, as we continue to read this, I want you to look with me at what he what he continues to say in this passage as we go into verse 19. Now, therefore, this is what he wants Moses to do. I've told you what they're going to do. I've told you how they're going to respond. This is what I want you to do. Now, therefore, write down this song for yourselves. And incidentally, the song is chapter 32, and we're not going to read the whole song. I would encourage you later to go back and read chapter 32 of Deuteronomy to see the song that Moses is to write to them. But summarizing it, it says in verse 19, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, that's the promise that he made. I'm taking them to the land. They can inherit this land. Of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat. Then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them. Therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. They're going to reject me. They're going to turn to idols. Write this song down, teach it to them, make sure that it is on their hearts. And as we know from history, as we've been studying the Minor Prophets, we've been studying this historical period for quite a while now, we know that they did just that. We know that they rejected God, they turned to idolatry, and God punished them with captivity because of it. But the Israelites chose for themselves the cursings and the death in that time, where they forsook God for the idols. And they turned away from the commandments of God and started living for themselves rather than for their Creator and Savior. And as we said, their punishment was they were sent into captivity. Many of them died, dragged from their homes, killed, or had to live in a land with a foreign king. And if you read the song in Deuteronomy chapter 32, all that's prophesied. It's said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be punished. You're going to live under foreign rules. You're going to suffer all of these things. So surely now, okay, we've gotten past this. We've gotten, okay, the children of Israel have gone to the land of Canaan, but now they're going to reject God. They're going to turn away from Him. They suffer because of that, and they're going to have to face these captivity periods. Well, they come out of that, and now what choice are they going to make? They're still going to be able to make the right choice. That's one good thing about those who decide to follow God or don't follow God. The thing is, you can change. You can decide if you're not serving Him, if you're serving the world, serving idols as they were, you can switch back and start serving Him again. So they have this choice again. The choice is always there. Every day it's there. What choice are you going to make? What are you going to do? Surely now the Israelites had learned their lesson, you would think. How could they make the same mistake again? After all, here's this song. You can make reference to it. You can go back to it and read it over and over again. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read, okay, these are the blessings, these are the cursings. And incidentally, read chapter 28 too when you read chapter 32, because the end of chapter 28 is full of horrible cursings that is pronounced upon the children of Israel if they reject God. I don't want to be flippant about it, but God's not messing around here. God's serious about His judgment upon them. They're His people. Yeah, He loves them. Yeah, they're His nation. But those are some major cursings that are pronounced in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and that are repeated in the song in Deuteronomy chapter 32. So again, all right, so they make the wrong choice. Now surely they have learned their lesson. But what did the remnant do? Once they came out of captivity and they went back to their land and rebuilt their temple and they started being able to live in Jerusalem again and serve God again, what eventually happened? They're presented again with the same choice. Do good and live, or do evil and die. Well, what happened during Jesus' day when Jesus came? Many of the Jews rejected the Messiah. And we're reminded of Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 38, of how Jesus felt about this whenever before he, well, he's on his way going into Jerusalem and he's on his way to go to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. And that's the sins of the Jews who rejected him. That's the sins of all the Gentiles. That's the sin of anybody and everybody. He's dying for the sins of mankind. And look at his disappointment. We made mention of this Wednesday night, but I want us to read it. And look at the disappointment. Listen to the disappointment in his voice as he says this before he enters into Jerusalem to go and fulfill his purpose of dying for the sins of mankind. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." What a sad occasion that is for Jesus. To come to Jerusalem and know that all of these people had rejected him, and yet he's going in to pay the price for their sins anyway. And then, as we mentioned in our class this morning in Romans chapter 9, verses 2 through 3, for those of you who are in the class, for those of you who are not, we were talking about how the Jews had rejected Christ. They thought they were fine because they were his chosen people. But we saw the change from earthly to spiritual, the spiritual Jerusalem. But Romans 9 and verse 2, this is Paul's attitude when he looked at the Jews, the ones who had rejected Christ, the ones who were rejecting him and his teaching. He said that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. And that's because they rejected. And Paul says, I wish I could take their place because he loved them so much. But the point is that they continued to reject God. And in this instance, of course, they rejected Jesus. As Jesus went to Jerusalem, they rejected him. As Paul claims this, they were rejecting the teachings of Christ, which is what Paul, too, was teaching. So what are they doing? They are choosing cursings rather than blessings. That's what happens when you reject the Christ. That's what happens when you reject God's word. That's a choice they made. Again, so throughout history, they are rejecting God. They are turning away from His blessings, and instead of receiving the blessings, they are receiving cursings. But the way I want to apply this and what I want to talk about for us, especially tonight, is that we make this same choice in everything that we do. Every single day that we live our lives, we choose whether we are going to accept blessings or cursings. By the way we act in all of our relationships in this world, we make that choice. And before we come down too hard on the Israelites, because that's what we've been doing so far, is condemning the Israelites for rejecting God over and over and over again and choosing cursings instead of blessings. We have made that point several times already tonight and condemned the Israelites for that. But before we go too hard on them, we need to consider what many people in our age decide to do. And hopefully it doesn't include us, but it certainly includes those who are around us. It includes those who are a part of this world. People who choose darkness over light. You know, it's easy, I guess, for us to say, well, that's an obvious choice. You're going to want to be in the light instead of be in darkness. And yet people choose darkness because they choose to live in such a way that's going to bring about their spiritual death, that's going to be in darkness rather than spiritual life, which is going to take them and give them light. They choose to be condemned by God rather than saved by God. And that's a choice that someone makes every day if they are not serving God. They are choosing not to serve God that day, and they continue not to serve Him. And they would have to change that attitude and start serving Him in order to receive the blessings. But right now they're choosing to receive the cursings. And for us, the cursings would be choosing an eternity of punishment rather than the blessings of choosing the eternity in heaven. But that's a choice we make. How are we living our life? What choice are we going to make in our life? When we go from this place and live into the world, what choice are we going to make? What choices are we going to make? Because it's not just one. It's this situation comes up. You have a choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to choose blessings or cursings? This situation comes up. You're going to choose blessings or cursings. We make that decision by the way we live our lives. What do we decide to do? Well, again, if we want to see how God can give out cursings and the kinds of cursings that God can give out, the seriousness of them, then read Deuteronomy 28, the latter part, from verse 15 on through the rest of the chapter, I believe is the cursings part of it, and read Deuteronomy chapter 32, the song that they are told to sing. But as we think about ourselves and we think about whether we're going to choose blessings or cursings, and we think about what our cursing is, which would be an eternity in punishment rather than to be able to live in glory with God forever. And as we're making this choice every day, I want us to just kind of apply that in a few different ways in how we make this decision every day of our lives. The first one. Are we going to allow the cares of the world to take God's place? Now, the cares of the world can be many different things, and you can kind of apply this however you need to in your life, in your heart, in what you feel applies to you the most. But for example, if we put our jobs before God and our jobs before our service to Him, then we are choosing the cares of this world rather than God. If we consider that our money and our possessions are more important than He is, then we are choosing that this world is more important than God. If we think that our family and our friends are greater than God or more important than God, then we are choosing the cares of this world over looking toward God. And again, in all of those things, the choice is ours. We will either love God and faithfully serve Him, or we will make sure to find something to take its place, to take His place. That's a choice we make. Where's God in our lives? Is He first in our lives? Is he at the forefront? What choice are we making? And this is what Moses said, and we can say the same thing for us. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I've set before me today life and good, death and evil. What choice do I make? Number two, a second example. Are we going to make the right choice in our marriages? Now, we have teachings of how a husband and wife should love each other, the relationship that a husband and wife should have with one another, how they fit together and what the roles are for one another. And we have biblical teaching in regard to all of that. If we fulfill our God-given role and we show proper love toward our spouses, fulfilling our role, then we are choosing blessings. However, if we decide we're going to have an affair, or we're going to leave our spouse for no scriptural reason, or we're going to ignore our roles and not fulfill our roles as God has set them forth, we show a lack of love for our spouse, then we are acting foolishly and we are choosing cursings. It's just that simple. Are we going to receive blessings or cursings by how we respond, how we act in our marriages? And we can say again what Moses said, I have set before you today life and good or death and evil. What choice are we going to make? Are we going to make the right choice when it comes to morality? As far as how we behave in our lives, the things that we do, are we going to do things that are moral? Or are we going to live in an immoral way? Are we going to stay away from drugs and alcohol? Are we going to abstain from sexual relations while unmarried? Are we going to keep our speech pure? Are we going to always speak the truth? Are we as Christians going to stand up against abortion, against homosexuality, against other sins that are so prevalent in our society today? Are we going to be willing to stand up against those and say that I'm not going to accept that and it's wrong? When we do that, when we do all of those things that I just mentioned and we stay away from all these immoral things, immoral sins, and there's a whole host of them, as you know. It's not just the ones I mentioned. Those are just a few examples. But we understand what's moral and what's immoral. If we do that and we stay away from it all, then we choose blessings. However, if we involve ourselves in what we're warned against, the works of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, all of those things, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all of those things that we're warned against, when we involve ourselves in that, we are choosing cursings. And so for you and for me, we say this again, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. It's two choices. That's it. Are you going to do right and live, or are you going to do evil and face the consequences? What about our congregation? What about how we are as a congregation, as congregation members, as members of this congregation? If we will fight false doctrine, if it ever comes in among us, if someone comes in teaching things that are not true, if we will fight against that and not allow that to come in and affect us, if we will take an active part in worship service, where we all come together when the doors are open, when we assemble, and we come together and worship God together, we sing together, we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, we pray together, we study together, if we will do that, if we will take part in these Bible classes where we study to learn more and grow as Christians, if we step up and do what needs to be done in the congregation, if we don't sit back and say, well, somebody else is going to do it, if we're willing to do our part to help in whatever is needed for the congregation, if we individually once we leave here as a group, if we individually will act as salt and light to our community, so that we will be an influence to them and we will shine among them to try to show them the truth. If we will do all of that, both as a congregation and as individuals, if we will live the Christian life, then we are choosing blessings. If, however, no one wants to step up and do anything, we don't make any effort at all to grow spiritually, so we don't really work it during our Bible classes and during our studies to learn and to grow. And if we have an attitude toward one another where we don't like one another, we backbite one another, or show hatred toward, or even, as the Bible talks about, devouring one another, if we act in that unbrotherly way, then we are choosing cursings. And so as far as our congregation and as far as we individually are concerned as Christians, we can say the same thing. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Now those are just a few examples. You can apply that to anything. Anything that you do, anything that is the Bible teaches us to do, we can apply that, we can ask ourselves that question, if you will. Life and good, or death and evil. But I want us to remember Moses' desire for his people. And I want us to keep this in our minds and think about this and remember this always. What he said in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20. And I have it typed here. I'll read it. You can turn to there if you would like to and read with me. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. We see how we can apply that to ourselves, how all that Moses desired of his people, we should desire for one another. We should certainly desire of ourselves. But this choice that is made. Now the sad thing is, as Moses said this to them, God had told him, they're going to make the wrong choice. They're not going to be pleasing to me. They're going to turn to idols. The foreigners are going to turn them away from me. And they're going to live in the world. Well, what about us? Are the foreigners, meaning the ones who are not Christians, going to turn us away from the blessings that we have as Christians? From being a part of Him, from having the hope of heaven? Are the strangers in the world who are not in His kingdom going to turn us away from that? Or are we going to make a decision, the right choice, to not allow that to influence us and to stay faithful to God? That's a choice that we make. And we should all have this desire for ourselves and for one another that Moses had for them. If we obey the Lord, and if we use the Scriptures in our decision making and in every part of our lives, then we will be able to dwell in the land which the Lord has promised us. Not a physical land, not a land that we're marching toward that is full of milk and honey as far as physically is concerned, but we are marching toward heaven. And we'll be able to receive that goal someday if we stay the course and don't turn away from it. I hope that we're doing that. I hope that all of us are here. We are individually and as a congregation. Hope we can encourage one another and help one another as we are busy working toward our goal. If you haven't yet become a child of God, though, we want you to do that. We want you to repent of your sins. We want you to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Come to Him, be obedient to Him, and begin your Christian walk today. If you are a Christian but haven't lived as you should, You have sin in your life. You've been choosing cursings instead of blessings. You can correct that. It's not too late. You can repent of your sins and pray and ask God to forgive you. He's ready to do that today. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come while we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice.